It's about 3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Yeah, it just came out.
Arno said it about 3.1 as well.
3.1.
3.2.
This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
Well, this is classic Trump. This is what we love about him. Like when he looked at Hillary and said, yeah, it's a good thing I'm not the president or you'd be in jail. It's those type of zingers, the authenticity, the courage that we need. And the private Federal Reserve chairman who refuses to cut our interest rates while the EU's cut theirs. And of course, now we learn it's over $1 billion in renovations that have gone on at the Federal Reserve, the private Federal Reserve. Trump turned it today and hand him a piece of paper to have him read off of it, again, in just classic Trump. And it was $2.5 billion overrun, then $2.7 billion, now over $3 billion. And Powell has lied to Congress and said no marble, no rooftop fountains, no private apartments, no private elevators, and, of course, it's all there. Then he tries to spin it and go, oh, well, it's only, you know, $2.7 billion for the main complex. This other $300 million or whatever, that's another building. Yeah, that's part of the complex. Giant 50-story, 100-story skyscrapers don't cost $3 billion. But it just shows the imperial private Federal Reserve that won't give Americans lower interest rates to restart the economy, but will give themselves a $3 billion Versailles Palace. And I just love how Trump nailed his ass. Now, Trump, do what you said you'd do with Elon and go to Fort Knox to see if the gold's there. You promised to do that, and we haven't seen that yet. And you know who's been in control of the U.S. gold supply? The private, run-for-profit Federal Reserve that's predominantly owned by European shareholders, the same ones that own the private EU central bank that Jerome Powell sits on the boards of as well. And you notice he and their group gave them interest rate cuts, but not for us, because they want Trump's recovery plan to fail. Trump's doing a great job with the economy, tariffs, trade, the border, so much more. Terrible job in his response to the whole Epstein debacle. We want him to succeed, and this is the Trump we like. We want the old Trump back. We don't want the new Trump that gets mad at reporters when they ask about Epstein. Because newsflash, Trump, that only makes it a lot worse when you act like you're running scared. We want this Trump back, not the new one that's listening to some really stupid people.
I think we hear the president. Let's tune in.
With the chairman, as you know. Chairman, come on over. And we're just taking a look at what's happening. You know, it's a tough construction job. They're building basements where they didn't exist or expanding them, and a lot of very expensive work. There's no question about it. And Tim has been with me for a long time, and
yes,
you're
sir.
In charge of the committee.
Indeed. One of the reasons why I wanted to see it was the overruns of the expenses, wanted to figure out why.
Yeah. So we're taking a look, and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Yeah, it just came out.
Arno said it about 3.1 as well.
3.1.
3.2.
This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
You're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital.
Yeah, you just added in a third building. Is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no,
the
but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
It's not new.
So we're going to take a look. We're going to see what's happening, and it's got a long way. Do you expect any more additional cost overruns?
Don't expect them. We're ready for them, but we have a little bit of a reserve that we may use, but no, we don't. We expect to be finished in 2027. We're well along, as you can see.
Nice to take these off every once in a while when we're not under too much danger. So, any questions?
Mr. President, does the issue give you any?
As a real estate developer, what would you do with a project manager who would be over budget?
Generally speaking, what would I do? I'd fire him.
Do you think this issue, Mr. President, gives you cause to do that?
Well, I'm here just really with the chairman.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
It's Friday, July 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It's Friday morning. Glad you're all here with us today. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of news to get to. I believe we'll be joined in the third hour by a very special guest, creating a very unique community in Arkansas. And coincidentally, this just got the attention of NBC News. And they're outraged. Can you guess why? So stay tuned for that. I'll try to open up the phone lines for your calls. In the second hour, like I said, we do have a lot to cover, including a lot of crazy videos to get to. So let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, folks, here it is, your Daily Dispatch. For Friday, the 25th of July, 2025, Trump and Powell clash as president visits Federal Reserve. During a visit to the Federal Reserve building, President Donald Trump toured the under-construction headquarters in Washington, D.C., bringing a document with a new $3.1 billion cost figure. The renovation cost ballooned from $1.9 billion to $2.5 billion since 2020, fueling Trump's public crusade and his demand that Powell lower interest rates. Amid the tour, Fed Chair Jerome Powell disputed the $3.1 billion estimate, noting the building was completed 5 years ago and the Fed's reserve for overruns. Wait, what? I think AI wrote this. That doesn't make any sense. The tour intensified political scrutiny of the Fed. The visit marked only the fourth presidential tour since 1937, with Senator Tim Scott highlighting overruns. He's like, don't worry about the costs. We literally print the money. Don't worry about how much this costs or how it's even possible to spend $4 billion on a single building. Don't worry about it. We summon the money from thin air so we can afford it. We can afford it because the money that we print is worth less than the paper we print it on. So they're paying for their building with your dollar's value decreasing, essentially, is what's happening. Meanwhile, nine more die of malnutrition in Gaza, health ministry says, as Israel to allow foreign aid airdrops. That's right. They're allowing a Berlin airlift style food drop by parachute into Gaza. Thanks, guys. Thanks. You could just, you know, give them some of the tons of pallets of food that you have waiting for delivery. You could just not shoot, bomb, and kill the people waiting in line for food. But, okay, they're going to allow us to parachute in food as if that was necessary. Because I guess in this instance, the Israelis are the Soviets starving the Germans, in this case, the Palestinians. They're the bad guys. I guess, in a word, when you are the country that's forcing the other countries to deliver food and necessary sustenance by air, by blockade running, you're the bad guys. And this is not just, you know, yet another horrific, you know, tale of just sheer unrepentant evil, because we get those about once a week out of Israel. This one is having a pretty major effect. In fact, I'm not sure if I have the story here in the Daily Dispatch, but I do have it elsewhere, and we'll get that to you in a second. France is now talking about recognizing a Palestine state, and the Prime Minister of the UK, Keir Starmer, has come out to condemn Israel. And basically the four or five most major media outlets in the world have come together to issue a joint statement condemning Israel for their treatment of the Palestinians, in particular, the starvation conditions that they're creating, with, of course, the first to die from malnutrition being children. The younger you are, the more vulnerable you are to this murderous activity. So have they gone too far this time? I guess we'll have to see. But this is, again, not just yet another in the infinitely long list of horrors, just crimes against humanity carried out on a daily basis by Israel. This one is really having some major geopolitical effects and causing some major change. So we'll return to that in a little bit. Meanwhile, DOJ launches strike force to investigate Obama officials over 2016 election. The Justice Department said late Wednesday it had formed a strike force to investigate potential next legal steps after Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released a document about the 2016 election. The documents do little to suggest wrongdoing by the intelligence community in seeking to investigate Russia's efforts to influence the 2016 election. But Trump administration officials have nonetheless said Obama officials should be held accountable, while President Trump accused the 44th president of being guilty of treason in connection with the incident. Again, we've been over this infinitely, but there is some new information coming out now. And in fact, we'll be able to present to you exactly what the documents that the IC and Barack Obama saw. You can see exactly how they were dealing with them. Meanwhile, we have this. Deputy AG Todd Blanche says, and Ghislaine Maxwell had a very productive meeting in Florida, according to her attorney. Ghislaine Maxwell and U.S. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche had a, quote, very productive day, Maxwell attorney said, after the DOJ official traveled to Florida to meet with the infamous financier Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice, who's currently serving a 20-year prison sentence in Tallahassee for sex trafficking charges. David Oscar Marcus said of the meeting, Blanche took a full day and asked a lot of questions. Ms. Maxwell answered every single question. She never stopped. She never invoked a privilege. She never declined to answer. She answered all of the questions truthfully, honestly, and to the best of her ability, per Fox News. Maxwell's brother Ian told the outlet she is reportedly compiling evidence related to her 2021 trial over alleged government misconduct. Clearly, we must now see how this plays out, he said. So wait a second. So Ghislaine Maxwell is using this opportunity to try to make claims that she was somehow abused by the government, that somehow her trial was falsified somehow. She will be putting before that court material new evidence that was not available in the to her defense at her 2021 trial, which would have had significant impact on its outcome. Wouldn't that just be perfect? Wouldn't that just be perfect if after all of the talk about Epstein and Maxwell and Trump on his campaign and Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, and at the end of it, the outcome is that the Epstein files are, they don't longer even acknowledge that they exist, and Ghislaine Maxwell gets out of prison. Wouldn't that be just the perfectly ironic solution or outcome to this whole event? It's just absolutely absurd. Again, we can touch on that later. Finally, we have this. Zelensky urges national unity amid Ukraine anti-corruption protest. Critics fear that a law passed this week will neuter two anti-corruption bodies. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky on Wednesday urged national unity as demonstrators took to the streets of more than a dozen cities nationwide to protest a controversial bill that critics say will neuter two key anti-corruption agencies. Ukrainian media estimated that thousands of people gathered near the presidential office in the capital of Kiev on Wednesday evening, despite a nightly curfew and the ever-present threat of Russian drone and missile strikes. And we're getting some more information about this. Apparently, they passed this bill against the wishes of their American authorities. And again, perhaps this is the way that the war ends. Maybe this is one of those the old lady that swallowed a fly situation where we got into this mess because we sent in a team of CIA State Department agitators to start riotous conditions and transmogrify that into a total coup and a decapitation on the ruling regime. And maybe we just do that again. Maybe we can solve through manufactured protest the problem we created through the same process of manufacturing protest. It's not the ideal solution, but it could potentially bring an end to the war if you oust the tyrant that currently sits on the throne, despite never being elected to be there, or at least not for this term that he is illegally serving. So that's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. I got a list of savings here because I can't even remember the number of incredible deals that we have going on. Not only are you getting the buy one, get one free sale on methylene blue tincture, the Shilajit gummies, and the CMOS, each one of those, buy one, get one free on thealexjonesstore.com. But you can also get additional discounts if you're a VIP member. The Ultra Methylene Blue Super Sale is on. You can get the Power Drive Bundle, buying both Power Plant and Methyl Drive to get 50% off both. Additional discounts, as well as a $40 credit for being in the VIP club. Plus, you can win one of either of the incredible trucks that are being raffled right now. And then there's the buy one, get one bombshell sale on three of our most popular products. Just massive discounts for incredible products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you, folks, if you're wanting to dip your toe in the supplement world, the Shilajit gummies and the CMOS gummies are both very good places to start. In fact, I'm gonna crack open a Shilajit gummy here and take one myself. But I got a lot of videos to go to and some time to get into it. But I want to save some of these because we're going to be joined by Eric Orwall, who is creating what he calls an intentional community. And I need the knife. Where's the Alex Jones store knife? I need it to open my Shilajit gummies. But he's creating what he calls an intentional community in Arkansas. And I got a lot of videos about that and I want to go to them, but we'll have to do that later, I think. I want to cover another story, actually. It wasn't in our Daily Dispatch, but I think is interesting. It's an interesting thing that's happening here. And we've seen this happen for a variety of different cases. In this case, it's an executive order that Trump put out. And it's just kind of odd because this is an executive order about crime on the streets and about homelessness, vagrancy, or whatever you want to call it. And it's the type of thing where it represents the failure of us to uphold the purpose of our system, meaning that the idea is that states or localities can handle our own business. And the idea behind America is you shouldn't need, at least we used to not need, a gigantic centralized government to manage the affairs, micromanage the affairs of everybody in the country. What you need is independent communities that can look after themselves and provide upkeep and basic maintenance for themselves. And the federal government is there for cases in which states are opposed to each other and need a third party to come in or some sort of national movement like going to war. But theoretically, we should be able to handle homelessness and crime on a local level, and it doesn't require intervention from the federal level because that's just a whole layer of complications and interventions that just waste energy when what you're trying to solve is a very local problem. But our localities are taken over by psychopathic leftist idiots that design programs that increase crime and maximize homelessness. So I guess the federal government has to step in. I guess when our local governments are doing everything they physically can to make the quality of our life significantly worse, I guess the federal government has to step in to just stop them from doing that. And so Trump's put out an executive order. It's from Rapid Response 47 on X. President Donald J. Trump just signed an executive order to restore order to American cities and remove vagrants from our streets. Here's the text of the order. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, it is hereby ordered Section 1, purpose and policy, endemic vagrancy, disorderly behavior, sudden confrontations, and violent attacks have made our cities unsafe. The number of individuals living on the streets in the United States on a single night during last year of the previous administration, over 250,000, was the highest ever recorded. The overwhelming majority of these individuals are addicted to drugs, have a mental health condition, or both. Nearly two-thirds of homeless individuals report having regularly used hard drugs like methamphetamines, cocaine, or opioids in their lifetimes. An equally large share of homeless individuals reported suffering from mental health conditions. The federal government and the states have spent tens of billions of dollars on failed programs that address homelessness but not its root causes, leaving other citizens vulnerable to public safety threats. And of course, we can stop right there and look at the amount that we've spent, what we've spent it on, and what the effects have been. Because taking something like California as the premier example, after all, this one state, it's been reported, has upwards of like 50% of the homeless population in the country. It's absolutely insane. I got all the stats doing a report a couple years ago, and they really are astonishing. Even saying that right now, it's like, that can't be right. But I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure the one state, California, has as much homeless people as like the rest of the country combined, if I'm not mistaken. It's something like that. Why is that? Why do homeless people go to California? And the answer is, ironically, because California is the state that spends the most on homeless people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And the weather's pretty nice.
Well, the weather's nice. The weather's nice. The weather's nice in a lot of places, isn't it? I mean, the weather's nice all over the country. More or less. Florida, the weather is lovely. Why do they not go to Florida? Because Florida doesn't give them things. It's actually very simple. So you have a problem that is the homeless, the amount of homeless, and it's a problem for the homeless as well. After all, it's a problem not to have a home. And the solution that they provide, at least that's what they call it, a solution. What it is a maximization. It has never even moderately decreased homelessness. Now, you would think that after even just a year of spending $1 billion only to have your homeless population double in that time, you would think that maybe a different tack would be sought out, looked for, and implemented. But no, they just keep doubling down. They just keep doubling down over and over. So it's this irony of, we've spent tens of billions of dollars and the situation is worse than it's ever been. And the more money we spend, the worse it gets. And the places that spend the most money have the biggest problem. So here's a crazy idea. What if we just stop doing that? What if we just stop doing that? What if we just stop spending that money? After all, we've talked about just a few of the homeless programs in America, specifically in California, where there are programs literally that have spent, I think the number was $30 million buying vodka for homeless people. Literally buying bottles of booze to hand out to homeless people. Okay, that we can stop. We can just stop doing that. We just stop doing it. If the homeless person wants to get booze, they can get it themselves. We don't have to provide it for them. So there's one idea. That's one idea for how we massively decrease the homeless population, is we stop subsidizing it. I know. Crazy, crazy theory I have here. And guys, let's see if we can find, I don't know if we can find it this quick. I only think it's about a minute or two long. There was a video by James Lee about the homeless industrial complex in California, showing that not only is the money spent on the homeless, you know, only make the problem worse, most of the money is just stolen outright. Yeah, San Francisco buys vodka shots for homeless alcoholics and taxpayer-funded program. So great. So that's great. Continuing with the executive order here, shifting homeless individuals into long-term institutional settings for humane treatment through appropriate use of civil commitment will restore public order. Surrendering our cities and citizens to disorder and fear is neither compassionate to the homeless nor other citizens. My administration will take a new approach focused on protecting public safety. And I do think that's an important sentiment. Surrendering our cities and citizens to disorder and fear is neither compassionate to the homeless nor other citizens. And it's, I mean, it's not just not compassionate to the other citizens. It very tangibly makes our lives worse. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people I personally know that have been attacked by homeless people in Austin. Not because they're hanging out in sketchy areas, but because the homeless are everywhere and they will literally attack you for no reason because you're walking down the street. It happened to my cousin. She almost got hit by a car because she had to run down the street because some homeless dude was trying to grab her. And this is just Austin. This is just what life is like. There's just some cracked out pink-haired hooker standing in the middle of a busy street, bent over from the fentanyl lean, and the cops are just walking right by. Not doing anything about it, not providing any help. And certainly, you know, mentally scarring my children. That to me is maybe the biggest negative impact is like my kids think this is normal. They think it's normal to have half-naked, cracked-out zombie retards living in tents on the sidewalk. It's not normal. This isn't normal. They shouldn't see this everywhere. They shouldn't even see these types of people. They're scary. Stop scaring my children with your homelessness. Again, it's not compassionate to the homeless people to just let them literally rot in just on the sidewalk. It's not compassionate. It's not safe. It doesn't help them. And of course, the greatest irony in a place like Austin is that the only reason we're like this is because the city government literally wrote a bill to allow it. Didn't used to be like this. How long is that? All right, let's go to James. Here's James Lee talking about the homeless industrial complex, just so you can see just a taste of the number of different issues that all combine to give us this drastically lower quality of life. Let's watch.
This lady is Valicia Adams Kellum. She's the CEO of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, in charge of managing over $800 million annually in federal, state, county, and city funds towards homeless shelters. It's a big responsibility, so they pay her a monster salary, $430,000 a year. And what's she been up to? Valicia has just been exposed for funneling millions of dollars worth of contracts to her husband. Quote, documents show that Valicia Adams Kellum, chief executive of the LA Homeless Services Authority, signed a $2.1 million contract and two other contract amendments with Upward Bound House, the Santa Monica-based nonprofit where her husband, Edward Kellum, works in senior leadership. And here he is, director of operations and compliance. Compliance. The irony is not lost on me. And for context, $2.1 million is about a quarter of Upward Bound House's total funding. So I would say Valicia's generosity is quite critical for this organization. Except that organization may not be what it seems. Haley Maria Van Nuys wrote that, personally, she feels sorry for all the new homeless families coming into this program thinking they're going to get help when they're not. That place isn't there for helping people. It's a sad money trench with a homeless face to back it up. Don't donate and stay as far away as possible. Not shocking. For journalistic integrity, I must say that Adams Kellum has denied wrongdoing. A LASA spokesperson told LAist that the contracts had inadvertently ended up in front of Adams Kellum to sign. Except, you know, she's done it three separate times, so not shady at all. The agency also said that they have pledged additional staff training to prevent future incidents. Such a joke.
Yeah, you're being robbed and the problem's only getting worse, so maybe a different approach is necessitated, and that's one that Trump is taking. I just wish it didn't have to come from the federal level. Are we not cleaning up our own streets? Do we really need daddy?
So the crew just reminded me that James O'Keefe has not tried methylene blue, or they asked me to ask him. He has it, doesn't know what it is, but he's so nice and trusting, he just took it. It's actually cyanide, James. No, seriously.
Trying to poison me.
I'm joking. No, it's really good for you. It takes 30 minutes to hit. It's not a stimulant, but it creates mitochondrial function and skips the oxidative process two levels or three levels in the cells. Usually takes 30 minutes to hit. You're on Owen at 4. Just please, Owen, talk to Owen. Ask if it hit you, what you felt. And if you didn't, we're going to put it on air, and you'll be the only guest that hasn't. So slam the rest of your medicine.
You got it.
You're asking what methylene blue is. It is something RFK Jr. pushes. It's something I've known about for years. But we've got the best, and it is amazing what it does to your body.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Sometimes it hits in 15 minutes. You got to let us know what you feel.
Wait, I've been drinking it for about 10 minutes, so we'll see.
You just started drinking about 2 minutes ago.
I finished the rest of it.
20 minutes later.
I just took it. I took a lot of it, and I would say it was the effect on me was light sensations. It was increased light perception. That's what happened to me.
The pixels of the world around you, of the simulation,
like enhanced a little bit? Enhancing my eyes when a light and I woke away, it was just a bit of enhancement perception there.
Now, that's what it did for James O'Keefe. What will it do for you? The good news is medical doctors have told me the very small percentage of people that don't have any effect, it means your mitochondria is so incredibly healthy, you don't need it. But that's, from my research, less than 1% of people. Find out what it'll do for you. What can you lose? You're funding the InfoWar at thealexjonesstore.com with a wide selection of Patriot apparel, incredible supplements, tactical daggers, and more. Get it and experience the adventure for yourself. And then please shoot your own videos. Do your own reports. Tell us the response that you've gotten, because it's literally less than 1% of people that feel nothing. Most people have incredible responses. It all varies on your physiology and your genetics. Get yours now, right now, almost forgot, until next Tuesday, the 29th, we have the Mega Bombshell Blowout Sale. Get a bottle of Methylene Blue, capsules or liquid discounted, and get the second bottle free, along with other great supplements like Irish, Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more, right now, in a limited time offer at thealexjonesstore.com.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the Methylene Blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or Ultimate Life Force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the Ultimate Burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the Optimal Human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands, you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Back, we got just so much more to cover today. Here's a story from Post Millennial about the executive order we were just discussing. Trump to sign order pushing cities to remove homeless people from the streets. President Donald Trump is reportedly set to sign an executive order dubbed Ending Vagrancy and Restoring Order, which will, quote, reverse judicial precedents and end consent decrees that place limits on cities and states from removing those who are homeless from the sidewalks and street city encampments and moving them to treatment centers. And there are treatment centers that can be successful. A really good one here in Austin. I'm not even sure if they're nationwide or not. It's called, what is it called? Fish and Loaves, I think. Fish and Loaves. Fish and Bread, or Bread and Loaves. Something
mobile
like
Loaves and Fishes.
Mobile Loaves and Fishes. Thank you. Thank you, CJ. Yeah. And what they do, as far as I understand it, is they, you know, a homeless person can sign up and they have a wait list because homeless people are desperate to get into this place. And they give you a tiny home. They give you a little tiny place of your own, and as long as you keep it up and, you know, keep it nice, then it's yours. And it gives them a sense of belonging and a sense of ownership and a set of rules that if they don't comply to them, they lose access to that privilege. And that's been incredibly successful, and it rehabilitates people, and eventually, you know, they work their way up. I would, you know, hate to see this just be institutionalizing people that could be reformed or, you know, helped in some way. But regardless, as I was saying in the last segment, in Austin, the only reason that homelessness is even an issue is because the city deliberately wrote law to allow them to camp anywhere in the city, any public land, meaning any sidewalk, meaning just outside of your place of business. Yeah, they can post up there. They can encamp there. And it's been just absolute disaster for downtown businesses who literally just like cannot operate because customers won't come to their store because they have to step over a rotting pile of human flesh to get in. And so they don't do it. And of course, the ultimate symbol of this law was that the only city land, the only city owned property in Austin that homeless people were not allowed to camp on, the only city owned property deliberately and specifically excluded from the open camping ordinance was City Hall itself. So these people, these scumbag local leadership, say, yeah, the homeless can camp absolutely everywhere in the city except where we work. Except where we spend our time, everywhere else we volunteer to let homeless people sleep. It's just outrageous. And even then, it took the state to come in with the highway department because they could then at least kick people off the, you know, overpasses or underpasses on the freeway. But it's just an absolutely ridiculous, you know, situation where your quality of life is tangibly lowered deliberately by a government policy. A problem that did not exist 5 years ago is suddenly overwhelming for no other reason. There's no economic pressure that caused this to happen. There was no major downturn where a bunch of people lost their houses. There's nothing like that. No, it was literally a law passed, a decision made at the local government level to say, you know what? You know what this downtown could use? A bunch of gigantic camp cities full of trash. That's what we need. That'll help us. So now it's like, I don't even want people to come to Austin. It's like, oh, you want to come visit Austin? Well, avoid everywhere. Don't go anywhere because it looks like crap and it's embarrassing. And it, you know, makes people want to stay away. So now when people leave Austin, I mean, it's like cliche at this point. You can find compilations of people going on Joe Rogan's show ever since Joe Rogan moved to Austin, and every single one of them is like, oh yeah, Austin, yeah. What's up with the homeless? Like, it's the first thing. It's like, why are there cracked out fentanyl zombies literally everywhere? What's up with that? Why is that the case? And it's like, that's what happens when leftists take over your city. That's what your city becomes. And people don't come to Austin and go, oh my God, the weather, the natural wonders, Barton Springs, the live music. They go, yeah, Austin, the homeless, what the hell? It's disgusting. Like, yeah, well, that our city council made that decision. They all sat on a big, half circle oval desk. And, one by one, they voted on the question, do you want to make the city a giant, disgusting trash heap? And every single one of them said, The eyes have it. We're going to make Austin a giant, disgusting trash heap full of criminals. Thanks, guys. Thanks for voting for that. Now the federal government has to come in and correct it. So that's going to go well, isn't it? So again, it's not about Austin. It's not about homelessness. It's about these people. It's about these people we're surrounded by who think that they're being compassionate by ruining everything all the time. This is more complex than what one police officer should have to do. City leaders looking to add a dozen new jobs to address homeless encampments. They create the encampments, then they got to hire 1,000 people to deal with the problems they create. So it's just symbolic. It's just symbolic of everything else we have to deal with. None of this is real. None of these are actual problems that are hard to deal with. They all are just deliberately chosen to make your life worse because they hate you. And unless they have a different reason for making your life worse in every possible way at every chance they get, unless they're just that stupid and incompetent. Maybe that's the case, but I think it has more to do with malice than incompetence, personally. Anyway, we can move on now. Oh, yeah, I remember what I was going to say. Because I bring it up all the time, and it's always shocking. The book Confederacy of Dunces, one of the best books of all time. If you haven't read it, you must. Or at least get the audiobook. And it's written in the 60s, takes place in the 60s in New Orleans. And one of the main characters starts off having been arrested for vagrancy. Not because he was living on the streets and not because he was, you know, committing crime, but because he literally didn't have a job. And it used to be, you know, in the lifetimes of probably most of the people listening to this show, right? Anybody that was alive in the 60s was alive during a time in America where if you couldn't prove your income, you'd go to jail, because it's pretty obvious when they go, all right, you don't have a job, you don't have family taking care of you, you know, you're not living off your family's wealth, so you must be doing something illegal. It's pretty simple. Like, if you can't prove where you're getting your money from, you must be getting it from somewhere you don't want us to know. You must be doing something illegal, so you're under arrest, and they make him get a job. And once he gets a job, then he's on, like, parole, and they make sure that he keeps his job. And he can stay out of jail by keeping his job. Like, I think almost the problem is so far at this point that that's obviously not possible. But that is how things used to be. It used to be that if you couldn't prove your income, you'd go to jail. You'd go to jail because what the hell? You obviously have money because you're eating food. Where'd you get the food from? Who'd you steal the food from? So anyway, it just shows how far we've fallen in the last 60 years. Meanwhile, this was an amazing unforced error from the Democrats. Dems post surge in grocery prices under Biden, blame Trump, delete post. That's the headline from Infowars.com. Democrats post of image showing a massive surge in all grocery prices under Joe Biden. And they post it trying to dunk on Trump. So this is the image. This is the chart that they post. And they posted it with the caption, Trump's America. U.S. grocery prices reached record highs in 2025. Prices are higher today than they were on July 2024 in all major categories listed below. Cheese, alcohol, grocery, dairy, produce, and meat. And then they post a chart that starts in October 2019. Shows that there was no rise in food prices all the way through 2021. And only once Biden got into office did you have a massive rise in all these prices that I guess is still trending somewhat up. Some have gone down, some have gone up. But in general, the massive price rise all happened under these 4 years, which were the Biden years. So I guess they read the headline and didn't really look at the chart. Maybe they don't know how to read a chart. That's certainly possible. Whatever DEI hire is tasked with running the Democrat Twitter account might genuinely not know what these squiggly lines mean. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. That's the level of stupidity that we're dealing with. They don't know that that's what that chart shows. They're not sure. They were never taught to read the X and Y axis and what those things mean. They just read the headline that says grocery prices are high, and then they just assume that that must be what the chart shows. They have no ability to actually discern or decode the complicated, you know, runic portrayal of price over time. That's too complicated of a concept for them. They're public school graduates, after all. They're just university graduates. You can't expect them to know how to read a simple line chart. It's incredible. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance pushes for automation of agricultural industry, no amnesty for illegal immigrant farm workers. President J.D. Vance called on more automation in the agricultural industry when discussing AI policy on Wednesday. The question came up when he was asked about the topic of illegal immigrant labor in the farming industry. Vance was asked about how the administration may find a middle ground when it comes to the handling of immigration cases when people have been in the United States for years working on farms as well as other industries. And of course, he responded that we're not going to do any amnesty in this country. We're not going to tell people who have come into this country illegally that they're allowed to break our laws and be rewarded for it. So he said what we need to do is automate. which of course is the obvious answer to all of this. But they don't want the obvious answer. They want to destroy the country through demographic replacement via immigration. So sort of that's sort of the issue here, is that people are almost operating under the delusion that we're both pursuing the same ends. And so it's a discussion of what tactic will achieve those ends. And we have to understand the ends that we are pursuing, which is just basic normalness, which is just basically allowing people to live and thrive and survive and prosper and to pursue life, liberty, and happiness through whatever means available to them, as long as they're not hurting anybody else. We just want people to be left alone to pursue their destiny as they see fit, without the interference or limitations of government or manipulation by corporations. What they want is your total destruction. See, we have two different ends in mind. We want to not necessarily return to the 1950s, but we do want the atmosphere of the 1950s. We want the togetherness and hopefulness and optimism and racial demographics of that. I'm just kidding. But we want the spirit of the 1950s with the, you know, benefits of modern technology. Is that such an impossible dream to achieve? But it is. I think it's a worthy goal to pursue. The goal they're pursuing is the total destruction of all of the systems of freedom and liberty and just all the other good things that make America worth fighting for. They despise, hate, and want to destroy. They want your dispossession and eradication. So these are incompatible goals, and yet we act like we're pursuing the same thing. So they're not interested in how to make farming more efficient. They're interested in how to trick Trump into giving amnesty to their foot soldiers. They don't care. Trump is live. Apparently Trump is live right now, departing for Scotland. Let's go to a press conference last minute. Trump on the White House lawn.
Falling so much, and are you concerned about that?
Well, you know, I'm a person that likes a strong dollar, but a weak dollar makes you a hell of a lot more money. Hate to tell you. I don't know if you study it, but I study it. And if you look at the yen...
I went to Penn and worked, so I know this.
You understand.
Absolutely.
Oh, you did go to Penn.
I went to work. Yes,
well,
sir.
That means you're a smarter guy than I even thought, and I know you're smart. So when we have a strong dollar, one thing happens. It sounds good. But you don't do any tourism. You can't sell tractors. You can't sell trucks. You can't sell anything. It is good for inflation. That's about it. And we have no inflation. We've wiped out inflation. But it's an interesting question. So I will never say I like a low currency, but you remember the battles I had with the yuan, with China and with Japan, Japan being the yen. They always wanted a weak currency. They're trying to get a weak currency now. Now, it doesn't sound good, but you make a hell of a lot more money with a weaker dollar, not a weak dollar, but a weaker dollar than you do with a strong dollar. And the first people that are going to notice it are the manufacturers of trucks and various other things. Like, look at Caterpillar, how well they're doing now. When you have a strong dollar, you can't sell anything. It's only good for inflation, and it's good psychologically. It makes you feel good. But with that being said, I love strong dollars, but you make your money with a currency. And I had so many different fights with President Xi, between Japan and China. All they want to do is have a weak currency. They're always fighting for a weak currency. And that's how they really dominated over the years. So when I see it down there, I don't lose sleep over it. Let's put it that way. In fact, sometimes I go to sleep very happy. You understand.
I do.
Do you agree with me?
I agree with a lot of what you said, Mr. President. Do you think it makes any easier to impose your tariff with that lower dollar? Because the...
I think it makes it easier even for tariffs, yeah. And it makes the tariffs worth much more. And it's easier to pay off debt. And it's easier to get a low interest rate, too. There are a lot of good things. It's hard to explain to people. The headline, Trump wants a weak dollar. It's not a weak dollar. You take a look at the history of China over the last 20 years. All they do is fight for a weak currency. Look at Japan when they were really doing well. They had a very weak currency. So to me, I just say... Thank you very much. It is what it is.
Mr. President, what's your comment on
Have you given up on a godless peace?
Yeah. Well, the Gaza situation, and I said this was going to happen when you get down to your last 10 or 20. We got a lot of hostages out. We took them out in numbers that nobody believed, a lot of them. And I said, when you get down to 10 or 20, I don't think Hamas is going to make a deal because that means they have no protection. And basically, that's what happened. Hamas didn't want to make a deal.
Have you seen that photo?
I think what's going to happen is they're going to be hunted down.
Have you seen secondary sanctions sooner on Russia? Are you closer today to secondary sanctions?
We're looking at that whole situation. It could be that we'll have to put secondary sanctions on there.
Sooner than 50 days.
Maybe, yeah.
Do you think it was counterproductive? What's the counterproductive?
Who are you with?
Fox News.
Oh, good.
Counterproductive to France, for France to say that they would recognize the Palestinian state. Macron said that yesterday.
Look, he's a different kind of a guy. He's okay. He's a team player, pretty much. But here's the good news. What he says doesn't matter. It's not going to change
anything.
Well, he made a statement, France, Macron. His statement doesn't carry any weight. He's a very good guy. I like him, but that statement doesn't carry weight.
How far do you go trade deal with the EU?
I would say that we have a 50-50 chance, maybe less than that, but a 50-50 chance of making a deal with the EU. And it'll be a deal where they have to buy down their tariffs, because they're right now at 30%. And they'll have to buy them down, maybe, or they could leave them the way they are. But they want to make a deal very badly. I would have said we have a 25% chance with Japan, and they kept coming back, and we made a deal, and the deal is... Don't forget, Japan's putting up $550 billion. It's a lot of money. And also paying tariffs. The biggest part of the Japan deal, and maybe we get this with the EU, maybe we don't, is that we have the right to go in and trade. We have the right. They've totally opened Japan to the just to the U.S. That's, to me, the biggest part of the deal.
Well, that was higher.
Nuclear disarmament. You said repeatedly you would like to see further nuclear arms reductions between the United States and Russia.
I would like to see that.
But the new START treaty is expiring in about 6 months, and it cannot be legally extended.
That's a problem. That's a problem for the world.
A new one.
It's a problem for the world. You know, we have restrictions, and they have restrictions, as you know, on nuclear. That's not an agreement you want expiring. We're starting to work on that. But that is a big problem for the world. When you take off nuclear restrictions, that's a big problem for the world.
Well, that'll tire you. Mr. President.
I think we had a very good meeting. Forgetting about the building, that's out of control and all that. But I think we had a very good meeting on interest rates. And he said to me, now I don't know if he's going to say this on Thursday or whenever he speaks, but he said to me very strongly, the country is doing well. He said, congratulations, the country is doing really well. And I got that to mean that I think he's going to start recommending lower rates.
Because of that conversation?
How do you think that the Supreme Court...
The country really is doing well.
Mr. President, how do you think that...
Record is...
Did you speak to Netanyahu?
Thank you, Mr. President. How do you think that the Supreme Court's ruling that benefited you on presidential immunity would apply to former President Barack Obama and what you're accusing him of doing?
It probably helps him a lot. Probably helps him a lot, the immunity ruling. But it doesn't help the people around him at all. But it probably helps him a lot. Well, he's done criminal acts, there's no question about it. But he has immunity, and it probably helped him a lot.
This is Trump live on the White House.
Obama owes me big.
What are the details of the UK trade agreement you're hoping to fine-tune with the Prime Minister?
This week we want to talk about that, certain aspects.
They're talking about, the Prime Minister of UK now. But that was an interesting response from Trump to the question about Obama, asked whether the Supreme Court ruling about Trump's presidential immunity would give cover to Obama. And Trump just said there, yes, it probably would help Obama avoid prosecution, but not the people around him. So that's probably a little insight into the way the DOJ is likely going to pursue charges as laid out. And we've got the story here. I'll bring you in just a second about the strike force. I guess I read it during the Daily Dispatch. The strike force of the DOJ is compiling together Looks like they are probably not going to be going after Obama himself, but after those around him, which is disappointing. But again, I think if those are the rules that are played, then, you know, maybe Trump can say, hey, look, if Obama's allowed to do it, then so am I. So everybody better watch out, or you're all going to be Russian agents by this time 4 years from now. Let's go back to Trump.
When you get down to those last 20 hostages, you get down to that last 10 or 20, it's going to be very hard for Hamas to make a deal because they lose their shield. They lose their cover. We got a lot of them out. A lot of them. We took a lot of bodies out, too. You know, so many of the parents said, please get my son's body back. And we're able to do that. We got a lot of people out, live and people that are not alive. But it was very important to the parents to get their son back, even though they knew their son was dead.
Are you going to be able to get the Open Championship back to Turnberry?
I think they will do that, yeah. They want Turnberry is rated the number one course in the world. I think they'll do that, yeah.
And are you going to talk to anybody
no,
about
I'm
that?
No, I'm not going to. It's
there?
Not about that. I'm going to see it for the first time in years. You were there the last time we went. That's pretty good, right? No, it's the best resort in the world, I think, at Turnberry. And it's one of the greatest courses in the world. We're going to see it. We're going to have, I believe, dinner at Turnberry with the Prime Minister. Then we're going to go to the oil capital of Europe, which is Aberdeen, and we're going to have lunches there. We're going to have a good time. I think the Prime Minister and I get along very well.
And you're going to see the Scottish leader, too, right?
I am.
What's that about?
Well, we have a lot of things in Scotland. I have a lot of love. My brother was born in Scotland, and he's a good man. The Scottish leader is a good man, so I look forward to meeting him. That's all set up, right?
Harris Day is exactly 1 week from today, August the 1st. What do you expect between now and next Friday as it relates to your deadline?
When you say tariff, not Paris.
Paris.
I think you said Paris Day.
No, Paris Day.
Well, most of the deals are finished right now. They're finished because we're just going to charge
Trump,
a lower tariff.
The world's loudest engine doing a press conference. I think he does it just to annoy the press. Oh, you want to ask questions? Yeah, let's go over here by the running helicopter before we answer questions. But answering a variety of questions, very interesting answer about Obama's immunity ruling, but also answering questions about Gaza. We'll get into that since the starvation campaign is finally causing the international community to no longer turn a blind eye and act like what Israel's doing is in any way justified. We'll get back into that in the next hour. Stay with us. It's the American Journal, InfoWars.com.
Fox News alert. The Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Kelly at Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3100. Call now for your free consultation.